Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
Bobby Rivers here. I am so glad that you have taken the time to listen to Mocha, Man of a Certain Hue and Age. That is the name of this podcast. I'm over 50, I'm black, and I'm proud of it. And those two things will influence my opinions on this podcast that I am proud to do with my friend Keith Price.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fabulous. How you doing?
Oh, Lord. Well, you know what? I cannot start off with another harassment story. I can't. I have nothing else to say about these white men and their penises.
Except that they've clearly shown them to everyone else but us. What?
You know, and I'm thinking, because every time I hear one of these stories now, I'm thinking, okay, there's a new opening. You and I both have been looking for work. And do I send a cover letter saying, the last woman to see my penis was my mother, a registered nurse, when I was in grade school and she was giving me a bath?
I don't think you want to go back that far, Bob.
Okay, fine.
I'm just saying. People get nervous when you mix the metaphors. You know,
but you're right.
I find it fascinating. They're still talking about it.
I know they're still talking about it, and it's like, wow, they are. But I want to ask your opinion on the whole issue in relation to a Broadway revival.
Oh, talk to me.
Okay, no, but let me do this first. Okay, I want to talk about a movie first. If the reviews that I've been reading are any indication, then early next year, Meryl Streep is going to get her 21st Oscar nomination. Have you read the reviews for The Post?
No. Is it really insane?
I read one review. Terrific. It's Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Wow.
And it is about Kay Graham, who's played by Meryl Streep, and Ben Bradley when they were at the Washington Post and dealing with the Pentagon Papers. Now, this is before the Watergate scandal.
Oh, that's right.
So this kind of, this is where they gained the muscle that went into covering and writing about Watergate. Man. And I read one review and this woman really loved Meryl. But then I read two, three, at least five reviews from good critics who say it's one of her best performances in years.
Wow.
And I said, it's Meryl. And you said, it's Meryl.
Not to mention, you know, the rule is that every year she's supposed to be nominated. So
whether she makes a film or not.
Exactly.
Right. That's just a union rule now.
They just do it now.
Right. And when you send in your SAG-AFTRA dues, you know, you have to give a dollar to the Meryl Streep Fund.
This is just in case she doesn't. This is just in case she doesn't get nominated the next time.
Right. Something to keep her from crying. But I thought, man.
Wow.
Great.
Good
okay.
For her.
So we're gonna look at that. Now, in the meantime, before the Post opens, if you people would like to know something about Ben Bradley, who's played by Tom Hanks in the movie, there's an HBO documentary I saw. It was terrific. The Newspaper Man, and it is about Ben Bradley. If you saw the movie All the President's Men, Jason Robards played Bradley in that movie and got an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. He was just a fascinating man and a brilliant journalist, and it's really worth watching because you will go into seeing The Post with a sense of history. So, gosh, Meryl, man,
again,
good for her.
That's fabulous.
Now, in another showbiz thing that I would like to do right now is say, "Happy birthday, Spartacus!" December 9th. Screen legend Kirk Douglas will be 101 years old.
Shut the front door.
I, I kid you not. What? Yes.
All right.
Yes, 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 yes.
And he probably has a gig.
I do not. I just probably writing another book.
Wow.
And we'll probably get lucky on his birthday with that fabulous wife of his.
Maybe that might do him in.
No, stop that.
I'm just saying, you know, the heart is what, you know, maybe that's what's keeping him alive for however long.
Well, good for him.
Get it, Mr. Douglas.
Got, you know what? All he's got love in his life. It's the, you know what? It's the holiday season now.
It's a time to get it, honey.
If you have been single a long time, like I have, getting through the holiday season is like walking an emotional tightrope made of tinsel, because it looks like everybody is coupled. I know that's not the real case, but that it sure seems like it. You know, you go to all of these parties feeling like you're the purser on Noah's Ark. Oh, they're all walking by two by two. Oh.
Then there's the occasional three, but they don't talk about it in public. They just kind of move. It
really makes you mad.
It's, you know, it's like you just see them leave the room at different times. Usually about 5 minutes behind the other. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. So Kirk Douglas, 101. I still count my blessings, and I give thanks to the universe that I had a half hour with Spartacus in 1988 when he was the premier guest on my VH1 talk show. I just, man, you know, like Bab Singh in Funny Lady, how lucky can you get?
Wow. My thing is, he's 101, right? And your talk show was when?
1988. He had written his first book, and that's why he was on. He was on to promote his first book, The Ragman's Son, a memoir. Uh-huh. And, of course, I wanted to talk about his stellar career.
So this was when he was already, like, what, 830? He's, like, 67, almost 70, right?
And he was still 65, and 66? Still doing lead roles and being shirtless.
Ew.
Real,
I mean, I'm just saying now.
He looked good. Kirk Douglas in his 60s looked good shirtless.
All right.
And you know, I was one of those kids who always went into the pool with a t-shirt on.
I'm right with you. Between that and the embarrassment of the tough skin jeans.
Yes.
And we're fat.
Love me some Kirk Douglas. Love me some Kirk Douglas.
Wow. I mean, that's fantastic. 101.
101. So there's two, and two screen greats. Like Olivia de Havilland's 101, and they never made a movie together.
Maybe they should now.
You know, okay. You know, somebody should, like, can you hook them up to Skype and let them do a special adaptation of Love Letters? You read. Okay, Olivia, you read. Okay, Kirk, now you read.
We could just splice it together later.
I love that.
I have a feeling A.R. Gurney would have a little bit of an issue with that. Just maybe. Well, just a hair.
Okay, well, you know, just one of my ideas for a show. All right. Now, you know, okay, I had my little short rant about, I cannot talk about harassment again. It's too much. Because every day a new name comes out. Two people who are known to New Yorkers, especially New York radio listeners, were recently suspended from WNYC Radio. Leonard Lopate and Jonathan Schwartz.
No way.
And they're both in their late 70s.
No way.
Yes, and Jonathan Schwartz, by the way, you know, I've told people they should watch the classic Fred Astaire film, The Bandwagon. Well, Jonathan's dad wrote the classic songs that are in that movie, Dancing in the Dark.
That's right.
So what? I read a statement from Leonard Lopate who said, I have no idea why I'm being escorted out of the building, and I'm sure after this investigation is conducted, they will see that there's no reason for me to have to leave the building. Okay. Now, that said, because that coupled with Netflix dropped Danny Masterson,
Oh, they finally decided to let it go. They were holding on to that. It was like a little back and forth because he's been accused.
So Danny Masterson has been fired from a sitcom that nobody watched, basically. It was a Netflix sitcom called The Ranch. And it's awful. Okay, I had to binge watch that thing, and I just wanted to poke my eyes out. But that said, he was accused and fired. So we've mentioned in previous podcasts that now, because of money that's involved in productions, if you're accused, you can be fired, or they just drop the whole thing. Remember I said that about Jeremy Piven
and
a CBS show?
Yes. They got rid of that one.
Yes, that show is off the slate now.
Damn.
So it's a question for you because, you know, I read what Leonard Lopate said. I went, huh? And now, and somebody else who was a reporter who brought up a point, and he said, it seems like they're not waiting to see if there's guilt. It's if you're accused, you're guilty.
Well,
and I know, okay, right. And I, first of all, the allegations, there should not be harassment. My question to you is, with this going on in the country right now, and being such a hot issue, and being such an important issue that does demand our attention, could a revival of Arthur Miller's The Crucible have relevancy right now on Broadway?
Oh, God, yes, it would be relevant. But the thing is, I remember, like, they recently did a revival about 3 or 4, maybe, let me see, this was our still a series. So it's like about maybe 4 or 5 years ago with that young girl, Saoirse Ronan, who's like having this moment, you know?
I love her.
And she was the young little Abigail, I believe it was the name. Is that the name of the girl that does the accuses? Yeah. At the time, it felt like it was necessary to see that for some reason, with Sophie Okonedo playing the mother, which was also kind of a strange thing.
Right.
And they had an actual wolf
historically,
in it.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, then of course you got Miss Tituba doing her magic fabulousness. But these kids, what's interesting is that I didn't think about the idea of them bringing that back more like than the Scarlet Letter.
Because,
you know, I mean, the sad part is that show does, I mean, you know, is it a witch hunt? I don't think it's really a witch hunt more than it is that people now are being called on the carpet for inappropriate behavior that was well documented to be inappropriate behavior by most people's standards. And now, unfortunately, with the ones that are accused, what's happening is that the reason that they're stepping down or they're getting away from it and not fighting it is because deep down somewhere they know it's true. You know, like Louis C.K., you know, I said this the other day about him, and I said, when you have to ask permission to masturbate in front of someone who clearly is very uncomfortable about the idea of you doing that, if you have to ask, more than likely, it's not cool. You know what I'm saying? It's just not cool. And the fact that you can try to justify it by saying you at least ask them, well, clearly you didn't wait for an answer.
I like the old days of masturbation when you did it in the woods in a circle with 5 other guys from Key West.
With their wedding rings in their pockets. Just saying. Been around the world and yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know.
That's
all. We have drink tickets.
We are men of a certain, you know, hue and age. You know, we have lived. Darlings, we have lived a little. Puff, puff. So, but again, you know, is it, you know, the issue ultimately is about, is it okay? It just was never okay. That's the thing.
Never okay.
And so the idea that people are now being called to the carpet, like, I found it fascinating that the Democratic senators that are asking Al Franken to step down as well, which, I mean, you know, and that's something that I think is just like, oh, okay, I'm mixed and torn. But I think what has happened is because when you want to swing the pendulum one way for somebody in favor, just remember that sometimes the bitch got to swing back. So, yeah.
And then the irony of, okay, Hollywood types and morning news anchors were holding more accountable than our politicians.
Exactly. You know,
this Roy Moore thing just gives me such a headache.
It makes me very, very scared for
yeah.
what it means America is going to become. If this guy really does wind up winning after everything that's going on right now in the world, like if, you know, it just will, to me, it will just solidify how stupid a nation we've become and how unfair it is that for some odd reason we have all fallen asleep at the wheel somewhere.
Yeah.
That we've just gotten overrun by just crazy. Like, it really, I feel truly like Will Ferrell in Zoolander. Like, am I taking crazy pills? Like, what are we doing? Who are these people? Like, how is it that this is going on?
How did
like,
this happen?
It's like, did we all especially just miss it?
For guys like us, being men of a certain age, and I'm older than you are by a couple of years, according to my bio that I wrote myself.
Nearly a fortnight.
To have lived and seen what we did, you know, God, I remember I was a young guy watching TV the day, you know, what, the special news bulletin, the special news telecast, and I'm thinking, oh my God, a president of the United States is resigning. Is resigning. I saw Nixon resign. I went, wow. And we're in an age where we have more technology than we had before. Yeah. You know, something I mentioned before about the documentary on HBO about Ben Bradley. When you watch that, and if you see the Post, Spielberg's movie, you have to keep in mind this investigative reporting was being done pre-Wikipedia and pre-Google. People still had to go to the library. They had to walk and interview. They had to get on a thing called a phone.
Ooh,
a rotary phone.
Wait.
And dial. They had to do footwork to get their information.
Wait a minute.
Now
Bobby.
We've got all of this advanced technology, but somehow we've gotten clueless.
You know what it is? It's because all of that stuff is making our minds real soft. Because I was thinking when you started listing all of those things, I was like, you remember the microfiche? And like how excited we were to go to the library to use the microfiche, because our research is like so fierce right now that we have to like get beyond the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
Of that year.
I remember having an Encyclopedia Britannica.
Of that year, darling.
Oh my God.
When you were in Vogue every year with the news.
I don't mean to be shady about Wikipedia, but people were using Wikipedia and I really wasn't using it because I didn't know what it was until Whoopi Goldberg told me to. She said, you need to check it out. And okay, if you haven't heard our podcast before, for 2 years I worked with Whoopi Goldberg. She had a national morning radio show in New York City, hired me, and I sat next to her and did live morning radio. And I had mentioned Wikipedia during a break, and she went, oh, you need to log on. And she told me that because I didn't know that there was a Wikipedia biography of me.
Uh-huh. Which, you know, I'm looking up right now.
What? No. But starting with the third sentence, the information was incorrect. The third sentence. And then, because I realized, when we were doing, because, you know, it's a Whoopi Goldberg radio show, and I would be interviewed, what's it like to be working with her, and what do you do on the show? That whenever an entertainment journalist, who was usually 20-something, interviewed me, they all started off with the same statement. And I went, wow, it's funny that they all say that, and it's wrong. They went, okay, your broadcasting career started in 1985. I was like, no, years before that.
Darling.
Darling. And your first job was Food Network. Oh, no.
No. Angel, no.
No. No, darling.
No, darling. I'm so sorry, darling. No. I believe you're incorrect.
And it was because that's what Wikipedia said.
Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, a lot of people got lost in certain kind of reunion shows because they weren't originally in the Wikipedia listing until after we mentioned it.
Ain't
hello?
That the truth?
That day, Arsenio Hall's name got on that list real quick. I'm just saying, go back early podcasts. We did that a couple of months ago. Just if you want to refresh.
But America, woo, child, like we got to wake
what's
up.
What's happened? What is happening? But
my Broadway mentioned, you think that Arthur Miller's The Crucible could work in revival right now?
It would be, yeah, it could work. I don't know how people would respond to hard drama about the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's like, because that's some intense stuff when you get all of that stuff moving. And I really want to see, I would love to see something like a more modern tale of that so that when people are seeing it, in this context, they can add, you know, they can see it for what it's worth. Because again, what happens to somebody who now is being accused by a spiteful ex-girlfriend?
Keith, that's exactly the kind of thing that entered my mind and came up with the idea for this.
You know, like what happens when it's just not true? And there you are. It's like, do you fight? Do you admit to it? Do you, you know, try to get an answer? Do you try to get the person that really confessed the truth? I mean, like, what would you do? And I just, you know, again, classic example of how I'm trying to make sure that that message is held out right the way that we've always said, which is if you have the opportunity to be like in the path of someone's career choice or career movement, and you have the opportunity to help that person, and you choose to take the advantage of that person, be it sexually or, you know, mind gamey, whatever it is, in order to let them pass that moment, then you're a son of a bitch. You know what I'm saying? You're just a horrible son of a bitch. And so yesterday, you know, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but if they go to Keith Price's Curtain Call and see my Instagram page and see my Facebook page, we have a wonderful intern that works here with us. Her name is Miss Bianca. She's here at the studios. And she's this delightful young woman who is working with a lot of these guys who do a lot of film and production editing. Because here at the space that we do the podcast out of, there's a full production house. And so she's like one of the few, there's a few women, young women that are here. And it's so nice because the guys that are here are really very cautious about how they talk to them and how they are with them. But at the same time,
and I know that's true because I've been there and I've seen them.
Right. And they're teaching them how to do all of this stuff that they're supposed to know how to do when they're finished with this time that they're interning. And so last night I had an extra ticket to go see the production, speaking of revivals, of Once on This Island here in New York City. And it was, first of all, amazing, 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 amazing. But I took this young woman with me. And when we got to see the show, and you'll appreciate this, Bobby, because you'll understand what I was feeling when it was happening. And that was, we were sitting in the audience, and they do a lot of stuff where the characters are doing their stage business while people are still coming into the theater. And right. So we sat down in our seat, and then all of a sudden, out of the side comes Tony Award-winning Lea Salonga, who, you know, because of my podcast, I was able to interview a few times and have had a really nice, true connection with her. But, you know, you never know what that really means. And so she stops in her character moment to say hello to me and greets me and greets me in front of the thing. And so I was telling the intern, Miss Bianca, I said, you know who that is. And so I filled her in on who it was. And so we do all of that. We watch the show. The show is amazing. The young woman that's in the show, Haley Kilgore, I believe it is, who is the lead playing T Moon, which is this amazing role. I interviewed her just once at a Broadway Cares event. You know, we had like five little minutes together, and that was the last time. You know, you tweet the moment, and you're like, oh my God, girl, you're so fabulous. So when she comes out, I take Bianca with me because we do the thing about the stage door. And I brought her outside to the stage door. And because of my little connection that I had with Haley Kilgore and with Ms. Leia Salonga, I was able to get her pictures with all of the people that were in the cast because they saw us talking to them. And then big old Philip Boykin, who I love, he comes over. And it was just this wonderful moment. And she had said to me afterwards, she says, you know, she's like, I've lived in New York this long. She's like, and the only other show that I ever saw was Wicked, but that was when we went to London because I was with my sister. But I've never done a Broadway show. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, so this is your first time going to a real Broadway show and having the full stage door experience like you're supposed to have, you know? And she said, yes. And it almost made me cry because then she said, you know, if my internship were to end tomorrow, this was the best day ever.
Oh.
And it was like, you know, and the guys were here so excited because I had taken her to the theater. They were like, oh, look, we, you know, it's like a weird perk for the work that they have to do here. This kind of like, you know, it's intern work. So sometimes it's not really glamorous. But the fact that she went to the show with me and had that moment, it was like, that's what it's all about. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what's supposed to happen.
What I wanted to do with my career is I did, you know, this to be a film critic. And I know I'm not a critic of the caliber of the late Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel.
But what reviewer.
I wanted to do more than say, oh, that film is a real dog, was bring people to the art of cinema.
Exactly.
Share my love for it and maybe inspire somebody to want to go into it and realize, wow, you don't have to just be the actor. You could be the director, the screenwriter. They need the people behind the scenes to build the sets. All of that.
That's the exact same thing I'm doing with the podcast as well. Like, you know, by introducing them to other people, like I have some stuff coming up with like a director. I have some other stuff that I'm doing with people that like do the scene design. And it's like, it's all of those pieces that are a part of the whole puzzle that give you something to focus on because it's not all about acting. And maybe sometimes if we didn't focus so hard on the acting, we wouldn't be ending up on somebody's casting couch trying to pretend we have a career.
Well, there you have it.
I'm just saying. And not to say, you know, not to say that working with some choreographer might not be a joy either, but, you know.
But,
you know, at least you're dancing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. And, you know, that's also the big rumor. You know, we haven't had anything confirmed yet on the Rialto. But evidently, there has been a little bit of fallout because there was a casting agent here in New York who worked for a very big casting who got booted for his inappropriate behavior.
I read that.
And the story is that there's allegedly a New York Times article that's coming out that's going to name some big names. And everybody's like chomping at the bit waiting for that article to come out because everybody has a story about someone else. And it's the most amazing thing. It is like, it's like, there's a part of me that's like, you know, I'm glad that whatever process I got, whatever I have in terms of my history or my thing, at least I don't have to, like, I didn't have that obstacle to keep me from them.
We're just overloaded.
But it's just like, wow. And it just keeps kind of like, when is it going to stop?
Like I said, before it was just, oh my God, this story broke about Weinstein and then next name, oh, Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned before, now it's like the weekday Smucker's weather report where like Al does the weather and he gives that birthday greeting for Smucker's jams and jellies or whatever.
I think maybe for this it might be KY jelly. But the should I bleep that out? Too late.
I like that. Today's harasser is.
I mean, and there's nothing funny, but my God, man. Like, okay. You know, but like I said, though, it will be a very sad thing if someone decides to jump into the pool of this conversation from a place of spite and ruin someone. Because the thing is that even if you are accused like that, and it isn't true, and they can say that it's not true, there's going to always be a smoke cloud around you. You know, it's like, and the thing about these alleged accusers is like, you know, if it was only one or two people that said that over the course of your life, that that's what happened, then you can maybe get away with it. But then it's like, when you got a whole cadre of women, but the best quote ever is I had gotten from this wonderful actor. He's also in the cast of Once on This Island.
Uh-huh.
And he said something so profound about, he was saying that the thing about it, it's truth. His name is Timothy Oliver Reed, who I told him that we are going to have him on our show, because if you go to Timothy Oliver Reed's Facebook page,
yeah,
sometimes, like a couple of days a week, he gets up in the morning and he does like these, you know, his inspirational 20-minute moments, and he just talks to people. And he was reading some serious truth, honey. He was like, listen, it's like, you as a person of color, yeah, we heard the stories about what was going on and this and that and happening, but we knew that if we opened our mouth about anything, we would never get another job. And he said, and that is the way it is. He says, it's only until like the Gwyneth Paltrows of the world opened up their mouths, he said, there was a chance. He said, but we knew it then. He's like, maybe now a Kelly O'Hara or somebody could say something and, you know, folks will get mad. You know what I mean? But like, mm-hmm. he said, but that's the thing is that this is a culture, and it's not, shouldn't be that it's a Me Too, but it's like who else knew? You know what I mean? That's what we've become. Like,
so before the Charlie Rose story broke, one morning I was thinking, wait till somebody from a news show gets hit. Because I've been in news situations where I have seen this type of thing, but it was, I always felt it was like a white boys club, and mm-hmm. so I was not a part of it. You know, they've got all their privilege, they're doing all their fun, and I'm sitting in the back seat looking like I'm a Gene in Paper Moon. Tell about the time that man tried to hit you over the head with a beer bottle, Miss Trixie.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Oh, my God. Why did you just put that visual in my head, Lord, have mercy? That young sister was fierce.
Oh yes, but am I right? That's
how they had it, Lord Jesus. That's how
I'm a Gene in Paper Moon. That is the way I looked through all of those years at WNBC. I tried to push out a window once in Little Rock.
Bobby Rivers, you are a fool. Meanwhile, inside the heart beats a Rhoda Penmark. You know what I mean?
But you know, being black, you can't go Rhoda Penmark.
You can't, honey. Rhoda Penmark barely got away. And it was only lightning that got her in that movie, if I remember correctly. Up until then, she was pretty skating free.
Pretty little dresses.
Mm-hmm. She was skating free up until then, honey.
You know, Madea should have been her mother. What will you give me for a basket full of kisses? A skillet upside the head and some prison time.
Get up off away. See, again, that's another classic movie. One day they'll have to go back and see the bad scene.
We'll just have to go back. We'll talk about it at a later time. Oh, Lord.
It's like, it's just all, I'm just so glad that we get the opportunity to just kind of laugh right now.
Because we need it.
Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my soul. I'm worn out. I'm weary. Like Lilius White in the Life, honey. I'm worn out. I'm weary. Yeah. I ain't no machine.
Oh, have we worn them out? It's probably we've probably been talking over half an hour. We must be making some ears bleed.
We can let them go.
Okay, I want to remind the folks. Okay, The reviews are good. You got to keep your eye out for The Post, starring Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, directed by Steven Spielberg. And Spielberg pretty much admitted it. Yeah, he's on the resistance tip. The way things are going in the country right now, he made this movie, and that's why he made this movie. And also, if you get HBO, catch The Newspaper Man, the documentary about Ben Bradlee, the late great editor of The Washington Post, who is played by Tom Hanks in the movie The Post and was played by Jason Robards in All the President's Men. HBO has been showing that fine film too, so if you can, catch the documentary and then watch All the President's Men. Excellent film.
Yes.
Oh, baby.
All right.
Now you tell them where they can hear some Broadway interviews from you.
They can find me, Keith Price's Curtain Call, on BroadwayWorld.com's featured podcast page, as well as iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Mixcloud, and SoundCloud. Also, you know, if you have a question for Bobby or I, you should contact us at Mocha with Bobby Rivers. That's Mocha with two A's. BobbyRivers@gmail.com. And make sure that you tell your friends that we are on the iTunes, that they need to subscribe if they have iTunes, and they need to leave some really great comments for both Mocha with Bobby Rivers and for Keith Price's Curtain Call. Because the more that you guys listen, the more we'll keep talking.
That's true.
Until somebody hears our song.
And listen to me, folks. This is stuff that you're not seeing on TV and have not seen on ever TV. You got two black men sitting up here talking about classic Broadway plays and classic films.
All right, Miss Imogene.
I know you like your water hot, Miss Trixie. Folks, thanks for listening to Mocha. We'll catch you next time.
But it wouldn't be
make believe if you. Mocha, go, 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 go. Yes, it's only.